I'd appreciate your prayers tonight. Been kind of amazed the last two messages. I feel like the Lord has given me a thought. Brother Carl covered a good bit of it last night, and Brother Rodney preached a good bit of it this morning. But I don't think that changes anything much what will the Lord give me. Maybe that will just confirm what the other ministers was talking about. I'd like to ask a question tonight. Where are you at in the Lord? And I ask that in the sense of believing that you're here tonight with that interest to know where you're at in the Lord. We want to go to heaven. In the process of going to heaven, though, we fell in love with the Lord. We're not expecting necessarily to just go out of here right away. We got a life to live, and we want to live that Lord with that life with the Lord. I do. I'm assuming we all do. Want to live it with the Lord. Seems to me like serving the Lord is a lot like being married. It takes a while to learn one another, don't it? I would say probably anyone even in here, as many years as you could add up to being married, you'd probably say you're still learning something. You're still finding out something, but it takes time to do it. And your desire may never be in question. You may start out and say, I love my wife, but I don't understand her. Or, I love my husband, but it took me years to find out how he wanted his eggs, or certain things about it. I find serving the Lord that way, and that's why I don't really believe much in having dynamic speakers or charismatic people that's able to come in and get people stirred up in a time of maybe an hour or two and get them all fired up and stirred. And the reason I say that is I've seen it happen and seen very little results really that mattered in life. They can get fired. The right person can get you fired up here for a little while, but it don't mean you got victory when you leave here. It don't mean that you have a better relationship in your marriage. It doesn't mean that you treat people better. It doesn't mean that you have more faith in God. It doesn't mean anything past the moment that you do it, generally. Well, I'm interested in more than that. I'm interested in something that's real. So I feel like it's the duty of the ministers, always the duty of the ministers, to point you to Christ, to help us understand better. So all I'm going to do tonight, Lord willing, is suggest some things. But the idea is that I love the Lord. And I want to do things as well as I can. That's the way I look at my marriage. I hope everybody does. But I'm sure that I've exhibited plenty of selfishness in the years of doing it. But my goal, my idea is that I want the best one I can have. I'm in this thing. I want the best one I can have. I take very seriously the scriptures of witness in Ephesians that said that Jesus done this for the tree. He washed it and done all this, that he might present it to himself. Yes. I'm a man, and what I do with my wife, I'm presenting her to me. If I ruffle her feathers, I'm the one that's going to live with her. Not you. I'm the one that's got to live with a discontented wife. I'm the one that's got to. I want my relationship with the Lord to be the best it can be. Don't you? I mean, I want to be able to get out of it. Why not? I feel like I was going along. I'm traveling. I was preaching. I was doing all that, and I felt like the Lord spoke so clearly to me one day and said, "If you're going to do all of this, why don't you get serious about it?" I felt so challenged by the idea that I was in a routine or a form and wasn't really putting my heart into it like the Lord wanted me to. It really challenged me. Well, I don't know everything about the Lord, but when I learn, I want to say, that's what I want to do. If that pleases the Lord, I use this scripture a lot. Probably most of you have heard me use it. But I really am fascinated by the scripture that talked about David's mighty men. And there was three of them, David outside the Bethlehem, and the Philistines, the garrison of the Philistines was down in Bethlehem, and David out there. I imagine the scene was is that they had been sloshing out of water in them goatskin bags probably for days, and David thinks about the well that's down there and how deep it is and the cold water that you can draw out of it, and he said, I long for a drink from the well at Bethlehem. And there was three men there that just, all they did was hurt it. That's all they did. David didn't command them. There would be no penalty for being a coward for not doing it. None of those things. But David simply said, I long. And it was enough for the admiration, the devotion, and the love of those men towards David to risk their life to go get it. All you got to do is tell me what I need to do, and I want to do it. I want the king's favor on me. They had devoted themselves that they wanted David's love, and they wanted admiration, and they had given themselves totally. And if he says, though, saying his is my wish, thy wish is my command. If you wish it, I'll do it. It's all it takes. And David's men, if you remember, went down there at the hazards of their life. It never said there was a battle. I don't know. It doesn't describe it. But the men got water. In my mind, I think they went down there with enough fire in their eye to say that the people there, the enemy, just simply said, if water's all you want, go ahead and take it. It isn't worth it. They was going to fight. They were going to die. Well, they brought it back to David. David saw the great devotion of his men. They saw the heart of the men that risked their life for a whim. This wasn't saving David's life. This was only a longing, a desire of his body. And when he saw that and the devotion that the men had towards it, he said he couldn't drink it. I'm not worthy of, it wasn't the water. He wasn't worthy of their lives. He wasn't worthy of that kind of devotion. Nobody's worthy of that. Jesus is worthy of that. Amen. That's what he did. He gave it as a drink offering to the Lord and poured it out. Cold water. I mean, what did he do? And he poured it out to the Lord because he said in his heart, God surely is the only one that's worthy to be able to give that kind of devotion and that kind of sacrifice. That kind of a love, surely that's all. So I ask the question tonight: where are you? Where are you in the Lord? Is His cause important? I say it is. Amen. So I want to challenge us. What's your vision of the way services ought to be? What's your vision of the way things ought to run? Do you ever think about them? I mean this. I've invited people to service before. It was very important to me. And in my mind, I played it out exactly the way I wish service would be. I'll tell you what it wasn't. First, it wasn't me getting them there and going and meeting them in the parking lot and say, glad you come. And we turn around to go into the building, and a couple of the young guys are wrestling out in front of the door. That wasn't a part of what I was thinking. And by the time you get to the door, a couple of people's over to the side in a good heated argument. That's not what I had in mind. And you come on in and nobody pays them any attention. No, that's not what I have in mind. And then you go and you start service, and the song leader says, is there a song? Quietness. Anyone? Anyone have a song? That's not what I had in my mind as I thought about it. And then as the songs go, that's not what I have in mind. What's your vision? What's your vision? And if you care, I'm going to assume that you do. What is your vision of what it ought to be? We can't make it happen simply by thinking about it. And it's not something that we want to beat up somebody to do, or we're going to legislate or anything like that. I just want to drop into our hearts, our minds, that if we love the Lord, we want it the best. And what's going to make it the best? How is it going to be the best that it can be? How is it going to be? I know God's impressive. If it's something wrong that it's not impressive, it's not God. It's us that's not impressive. In the service of the Lord, to sing with our hearts, to worship with our hearts, to give all to the service. In my mind, I want to challenge, because the ministers both have touched on this in the last couple of services. I thought about, this was my message before they preached it, so I'm not just saying it. I'm telling you, the Lord was working with it. Do we have a part? Is there something that we can add to it? Is there something that would make it better? To my mind, coming into a lively congregation of people, expecting that the witness of God in our midst, it's more than just saying, I think that one fella really has the Lord. I hope it's more than one fella that has the Lord. One of the things that I like to do when I'm ministering and there seems to be an effect with that, one of the first things that I like to do with people so that they don't get an impression of just a group or a small few people, wow, the singing's good or the ministering was good. Come and see a bigger picture. I want you to see more. There's more anointing than what just this. There's my brethren's got it too. The other congregation's got the same love ours does. There's more than that. So I want to ask again, what's the vision that you have? Is your vision of a lively congregation that you want to bring somebody to? Does one person do all the praying? Somebody mentioned, Brother Carl, I think, mentioned something about congregations that had five or six most people. Brother, you were stretching that a long ways in a lot of places I've been. A long ways. Listen, I don't know what the Holy Ghost is doing. I'm going to say that I'm going to assume that not everybody is going to have the gift of a public prayer. And I'm not going to assume that everybody should have one. But somebody's going to have one. And there's nothing wrong with pursuing the gifts. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, help us to find this. I want this to be, I want God to be glorified. I want the cause of God to be glorified. I'm not trying to puff up a system. I'm going to puff me up or you up or anything else. I want people to see what God's doing. I want to see what He can do about that. Yeah, I'm going to go to Wednesday night service and listen to the testimonies. And everybody says, well, we'll go Wednesday night and listen to the testimonies. And then it's, well, anyone got a testimony? Tick, tock, tick, tock. Listen, we wait on the Lord. There's nothing wrong with the time of that. But Lord, help us to have a testimony. Lord, help us to be willing to give a testimony. Lord, even help us to seek for a testimony. Lord, what can I provide? What can I give and what can I do to make this better? Because I have something in my mind about what's impressive. Maybe you do too. But deadness isn't. And deadness isn't the Lord. The Lord isn't dead. He's lively. He's alive and He wants to liven us. Listen, I'm not about stirring us up when we come to service. I'm about stirring our lives up. I'm about stirring our lives up until not only do you have something here, you have the victory out there. This is something more than it. It's a life. Lord, what can I do to be impressive? I don't want it to just be here. I want it to resonate till it goes out there. And if I pray enough in here, if I pray enough here, I'll find opportunities out there to pray with people. I find opportunities quite often to pray for people out there. But if you never pray, you won't find those opportunities because they're not there and made available. So Lord, help us have a vision about what God wants us to do. if I love the Lord, yeah, I know things like if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Sure, we can define that down to certain things. But but if you love in a relationship, if you love in there, you start taking care of little details about it. You start caring about what the details are and what it means to someone, your companion, what it means to just have a touch, or what it means to have a gift, or what it means to do a little something for them, or to reach out to whatever it is. You know them and you run them and you know them and you know what's important. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I'll draw all men to me. Well, that's a part of the lifting up. Lord, help us to be alive. I don't remember exactly the term, but it's something like, it has to do with responsibility. I don't remember the term, but this is what it is. They say if a man's attacking a woman and one man comes by, he's more likely to do something about it than if there was a whole crowd come by. One man would be a lot more likely to interfere into that. It's called deferred responsibility. If there's a whole bunch of people there, they're more likely to say somebody is going to do something. Somebody is going to be responsible to stop this hideous action. Somebody, and everybody waits around. I don't really want to be involved, but I hope somebody is. But when I get there and I'm the only one, then I've got to do something. That's really not the way the Lord wants it to work. The Lord really wants it to work in the way till He can put His finger on us. till He can inspire us. That He can touch us. That we can have something from the Lord. We'll look at a scripture. Oh, it's in Ezekiel, I think. Ezekiel 47th chapter. I'll start with the first verse. It says, afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man had a line in his hand, went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters was to the ankles. There's a lot of experiences in the Lord. Ankle water isn't very intimidating. Someone recently said to me, I'm afraid of water. Well, forgive my mind for silliness, but I thought of a glass of water when they said it. Now, my intelligence said better. I knew what they was talking about. But it was a general statement that I'm afraid of water. Well, surely they wasn't afraid of a glass of water. They wasn't afraid of a shower. The expression was afraid of water. They meant water. They meant a lot of water. They meant big body of water. I said, you're afraid of water? And they said, ha, 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 I'm afraid of a lot of water. I'm afraid of a lot of water. I'm not afraid of it to be into my ankles. Ankles is pretty secure with me. I'm okay with ankle water. Ankle is pretty good. It's still water, but there's not a lot intimidating about water. It's still water and it's still good and it serves a purpose. I'll tell you this about ankle deep water. It's hard to take a bath in that. It's hard to swim in it. It's hard to do much with it. I got some at the house sometimes. If I don't get the rocks out of the way, I can't get a bucket of water. I have to just dip the bucket in and get another little bucket or a little something and dip the water in to try to get a bucket of water, because you can't dip a bucket of water in ankle-deep water. You can't get the bucket down far enough. The water's not very intimidating. It's water. There's an experience in the Lord. There is an experience. There's water. There's something to do. Brother Rod said before the service, this is about a river. This is about a river of water. This is about a lot of water. But an ankle deep water is not very intimidating. Let me down 1,000 feet. That's the way experiences with the Lord is. You have to get in ankle deep water before you get in deeper water. Most usually it's not a drop off. This is the way it works. There's an ankle deep water to get in. All of our experiences starting out, we don't know very much. We're not very capable. We don't know how to do anything. It's the way all of us has got to go. It's like growing up. You don't expect college grades out of a kindergartner. But you don't expect kindergarten grades out of a college age either. There's a growing in this. And I know that it doesn't necessarily have to do with age, as in our physical age, but it does have something to do with how long we've been around to say, where am I at? Here's the truth about it. The Lord said some in the parable of the sower, that there was some that come out of the good ground that produced. And it was some 100 and some 60 and some 30. And the truth of it is that 30% is 100% to some people. It's a 30%, that's what they do. I remember a minister that said that we asked about a certain person, and the comment was is that they give 100% of their 30%. They're all in. In other words, the capability and gifting isn't great. It isn't a lot. It's what the Lord done. That's okay. That's an okay place. But it isn't okay to give 15% of your 30. Of the capability that you got. In each one of our lives, we have to get to that kind of place. I want to try to encourage you in the Lord. Go for it. Go for it. See what the Lord's got for you. See what He can do. See what gifting's there for you. See what, I'm not saying run out of wisdom here. I'm not saying just go and do things. That might cause a mess. What I'm saying is be willing. Give your heart to it and find out what the Lord really wants you to do. What do you want me to do with my life, Lord? What do you want me to give into this? Lord, do you want me to be that one that the pastor can depend on if nobody else will pray? They'll pray. They got a prayer. Is that okay? Well, sure, but there need to be more than one. Maybe a bunch of them. Maybe it would be impressive. Maybe it would be impressive if someone come to visit us and we had that kind of life about us. Maybe if they visit us once, visit us twice, they might get to thinking that there's only what that person's duty is to pray. We say Holy Ghost leadership, but they're the one that prays all the time. And they pray when nobody else does, and that's the one that does. That's by default. Lord, help us. Well, I'm using that for an example because it's easy to understand, but there's a lot of places in the Lord that need to be filled. And in our own life, there's places that need to be filled that nobody may know about, but they need to be filled in our own lives. So He said that He got that, and He measured down 1,000, and there was water there. There's an experience there. You start out into something in the water, and it feels good on old hot feet, and there's a benefit to it. You can drink out of it. You can dip it up. There's a useful for it, but it's limited. It's limited, and we can have a limited experience. I want to encourage us. Go for it. See what the Lord would have you to do. You might be surprised where the Lord will take you. More and more I'm finding out into my experience that the Lord's got something for us. You can ask the Lord for something to do. He'll give it to you. He's got a thing to do. He said He measured. Again, He measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. They're up to the knees now. No, I've been out fishing a lot of times and being knee deep water. There's fish that can be in ankle deep water, but that's not usually where you cast your line. There's not a lot there. Well, they'll come into that sometimes, but that's not the way you fish generally. It's not good for that. But knee deep water, that's different. Knee deep water, you can get a bucket all the way down. You can get a full bucket. full of water and in knee-deep water. You can do a lot more in water, knee-deep water. If I sat down good in knee-deep water, I'd put it up over my shoulders just by sitting there. I'm not that big. So water, it's got a lot of purpose in it. You can bathe in that. You can do a lot with it. There's a lot more that you can accomplish in this experience. Went down another 1,000. It's another line of experience that it's talking about. I got to another place. I got some more duties now. I got some more responsibilities. I got more blessings in this. I got more of an experience in the Lord. It's like being married. You go a little bit farther, you understand a little bit more. Marriage was never to stay in that beginning stage. It's supposed to grow and be richer and stronger, and that's what it's supposed to be. Do you ever notice that people that live a long time with each other get to looking like one another? I don't know how to explain that exactly. But they start, I think it's just that they start taking on each other's mannerisms, and they start using the same expressions, and they kind of grow together that way, and after a while it looks like they kind of look like one another, and they kind of act like one, and they kind of get together. Well, this is kind of what the Lord wants us to do with Him. But as we got a little bit more years on, we're supposed to progress a little bit more. Now I'm down to knee deep and expecting. Is that enough? Lord, help us. Is that enough? Is knee deep enough? I can be satisfied here. I can get my bucket in. If I need to get down in it and wash my hair, I can. If I need to wear water, knee deep water is a lot of water. It keeps it coming. It's coming out front. Maybe it's deep, but maybe it's good enough. And we can have that kind of expression. Maybe there's something beyond. Maybe there's something beyond that. Go for it, folks. See what the Lord, young people, see what the Lord's got for you. He's got something. He didn't leave us with nothing. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. They're getting up there now. This is where it starts getting scary. I was out trout fishing one day in January, February. And I'm not as young as I used to be. And my legs are stiff to start with. But when I get out in really cold snow water, snowy water, I had waders on. But my legs get colder and colder. And I'm standing out there in water, halfway up between my knees and my waist probably. I'm standing out there in very swift moving water, trout fishing, and I decide I'm going to make my way to the bank, and I tried to start moving my legs, and my legs was kind of stiff and they wasn't moving, and I got caught in the current, and the current started taking me on down the river to where it kept getting deeper and deeper, and there's a spot down there just a little ways that's over my head, and this is in very cold water, and I keep clawing and digging, trying to get my legs to moving and trying to brace against the current, and it's taking me further and further. And if I can express this to you and get it vivid in your mind, I was scared. Those waders fill up with water, and then serious things are happening down there, and I was getting pretty panicky. For one thing, I didn't want to be wet, but more than that, I didn't want to be under the water down there. And ankle deep water is not scary, but folks, when the water starts getting up and up, it can be fearful. Living for God is like that too. There can be a challenge to what the Lord wants me to do. Lord, what are you asking of me? This is a little scary for me to come and sincerely consecrate myself to you, because I really don't know what you're going to do. This is real. This is real. I don't really know what you're going to ask me to do. I want this. I want to do it. But it starts getting scary when it gets deeper. I'm losing my control. I'm losing my control. I don't lose control when it's ankle deep. I'm in control of that. There's water, but I'm in control. And knee deep ain't too much too. But it starts getting over that. I start losing control. And I don't know what my life's going to be like and what's going to happen to me and all those kind of things that come. And it can be very fearful. But I want to tell you something. We serve a God of love. We serve a God that we can put our trust in. God is going to give us the very best life that we can have. It is the supreme life for us. Trusting God, He's going to take us to places. We don't know what it might look like getting there. But God's going to bring us to that place that is perfect for our life. We're going to get the best out of us. He's going to allow us to produce the fruit that we can produce. But the water's now starting to get fearful. This is where I start saying this is where I'm recognized by everybody around me as I'm out in the water. I'm fighting the battles. I'm praying the prayers. He's out there in it. But there's deeper water. There's someplace else to go. But sometimes we don't want that next 1,000 to be measured. It's a challenge. What if, I've heard this a lot over the years, of people that said, well, what if He called me to preach? As if preaching is the ultimate bad call. What if I get serious with the Lord and He calls me to preach? I just can't. Well, I'm going to testify about something. It ain't that bad. God gives it to us. God helps us with it. My experience is that I didn't plan to preach. I don't know of many people that planned to preach. I definitely didn't plan to preach. I just simply said, Lord, if You save me, I'll do whatever You want me to do. And I kept that. And the Lord started working with me. And do you know that when I started out and was in ankle deep water, I could not have imagined me standing up behind a pulpit and saying anything. But it was line upon line. The Lord started working and I started being faithful to the Lord. And there come a time to where the Lord started speaking to me about doing something, testifying and doing things. And you know what? It ended up being really easy. It seemed so hard, but it wasn't, because it just one line upon another, and finally I'm to this place, and the Lord made a perfect opening, and it was this, and it wasn't as hard as we play it out in our mind. You know, devil talks to us and those kind of things. No, the Lord ain't going to call everybody to preach, but if He does, it's your calling. There's a lot of preaching needs to be done that is not done here. This is only one part of it. There is so much out there and we all have a part of it. And the Lord's trying to get us to those kind of places. What the Lord really wants us to do is to go out into the water. Come on out. Come on out into the water. He said He went 1,000 and it was to the loins. After He measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A water that could not be passed, a river that could not be passed over. Now it's turned into a river. Folks, I'm going to tell you something about a river. It's impressive. That's what we need in our experience. We need a river experience. We need to be able to be out there, and when people look upon that, they look at something that they can go swimming in. This is something that's full and fair. It's not just a trickle. It's not just a little bit, but it's something that's alive and full, and it's got all the power and the glory and everything of a river. It's got something total in it. A couple years ago, we had the privilege of swinging by Niagara Falls, and I forget the amount of water that goes over there in minutes, but it's a huge amount that goes over there, and to look at that is impressive. it's an impressive sight, and there's a reason why they've got this great big area made up about this, and it says Niagara Falls. Right? And they got all of the little shops and all of the things, and the reason they do it is because it's impressive enough to draw people to it. Yeah. You can't go out here and get a little inch pipe and run it down over a wall and say, come and see. Because nobody wants to see. It's not even, I'm sorry. You know, a gallon of water coming out of that every 2 minutes isn't that impressive. I mean, yeah, it runs on the ground and runs into the mud and makes a little mess, but no, you're not going to get a lot of people coming around to see something like that. And when they do, hey, I want you to see something. And you go, look at this, it is impressive. They're going to say, not really. Would you come back? Please come back the next time you're in town. I doubt it. It doesn't matter. It's not impressive. There's something impressive about Niagara Falls because there's a lot. It's a torrent of water. It's big and it's glorious, and you see something that you don't see everywhere. That's why it's unique in its power and how much goes over it. And so when we was up there, there was people everywhere looking, taking pictures. There was a big bunch of us smiling, taking pictures. Everybody wants to see the picture with the falls behind them because it's impressive. One or two people praying is impressive, folks. It's us singing haphazardly is impressive. Just getting by it is impressive. And I'm not saying that we're supposed to make it up. I'm saying we're supposed to have it. Yeah, I come feeling poorly. I come everybody else. But Lord, help us to get out where the water is really at. To get out and have something that people can come by and say, that's impressive. I'm going to tell you something that I've encountered. And this isn't for everybody. But I want to remind us of something. A lot of people don't know anything about what we do. And I've been introducing as many people that I can run into it. And when you're around it long enough, I remember the first time that I ever come to a saints meeting in West Virginia. Some of you were there. Went to the camp meeting. My grandmother would invite me. Went to the camp meeting. Went in and sat down. And I thought you all were strange people. But when I was saved, and I loved the Lord, and I wanted to serve God, and I went in and sat down. Brother Bob Forbes was there. I'm pretty sure he led singing. And the singing started. And I remember what happened to me when the singing started. We hear it all the time, folks. We get used to it. And we don't think much about it. But I'm going to tell you, that's not true with everybody.
That's right.
There is a great witness and power when people with a pure heart sing the way the Lord wants them to in the Spirit. It's got an unusual way of touching people's lives. It touched me that day. And I remember because everything that made sense to me wasn't being in church with my grandmother. Okay. It was some miles away that made sense in all of my life. And so my reaction wasn't one of glory or that. My reaction was a witness that would hit me so deep in my soul that I said to myself at the time it started, oh no, this is it. I never heard, experienced anything like it, and it touched me that deeply. To this day, it still reminds me of that testimony that I have of the Lord, that the Lord did that. That wasn't the only thing. All the songs that was sung was like an enlightening to me, to my spirit. And then the ministering was like extraordinarily dynamic. It was Brother Hargrave preaching on Thou Fool, and he was dynamic in his delivery, and the Lord was blessing him, and it was a witness to me. Listen, folks, it was like the Niagara Falls. I wanted to go back. I want my picture taken there. This is something that I felt something. I experienced something. There was overwhelming about it. We have the ability to do it. Don't overlook it. It's okay. It's okay for a group of people that I'm not saying I'm talking about gifting. Being able to use the gift. It's okay to fire up a song at the park. On the bus. It's okay to witness this witness. You think that somebody's gonna tell you to shut up. Maybe in some rare case, they will. That's not what happens in most experiences that I've had. We had an experience. Charlottesville, Virginia, University of Virginia Medical Center Hospital. Was there. Congregation from Green Bank had went. We'd come there. Was going to sing some songs. So we said, well, we go to the waiting room to sing some songs. So we went to the waiting room, and the waiting room was full of people. Well, we said, well, we can't really intrude on them, you know. And so I said, wait, how about if I ask them? There's nothing rude about that. So I went in and got their attention. Excuse me. We would like to sing some hymns. Would you all mind? Mind? Oh, please. Please do. Please sing. That ain't even hurt us yet. Please sing. I'm going to tell you. Started singing. You know what they was in the waiting room for? You ever think of that? You know what people's in a waiting room for? Waiting on something. Waiting on a person that's in ICU. Don't know whether they're going to live or not. Waiting for somebody that's in an operation that might not pull through.
Right.
The singing starts. And all of a sudden, tears starts flowing. Different ones starts being touched. And in a little bit, we was able to talk to them. Ended up praying with some. Will you come to ICU? Will you come pray? You know what it was? God used the gift. Niagara Falls. Something that's overwhelming. Something that touches. Something that can move people. We have that for our lives. But the Lord said you're going to have to get out of ankle deep water to do an ankle. Ankle deep water doesn't do it. You don't find ankle deep water a lot of places. No, it takes the river. It takes a full experience that He wants us to go out in to do it. He wants us to be consecrated. It's not our abilities, folks. There's people that can sing. That's not it. It's the gift of singing, but that gift has something in it of God. And it is powerful. It's touching. It moves people. If you've got that gift, God didn't give it to me, but He may have gave it to you. I'm not talking about just singing. I'm talking about a gift. You can touch the world with it. You may say, well, I need the other parts. Well, it sounds better. But that's not true. There has been many that have been able to touch just by singing their gift. Oh, it's not just the words. It's not just the sound of it that does it. It's the Spirit of God. It's the river that God has with it. Lord, help us. What's your vision? Where are you at in the vision? What do you really want the congregation to be like? We don't want it to be disruptive. If I can say something from my heart here, standing up and just babbling on isn't what I have in my mind either. I don't want to be harsh with anybody, but we need to be prudent and wise about what we're doing. Just standing up and rattling on and on and on and on isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a gift. To give somebody something, not to just tell what Aunt Gertrude was doing. It's important. You're taking people's time. Lord, help us. It's valuable. It's valuable, precious time in our services to be wisely dealt with. Lord, help us. We want to hear the testimonies. We never shut anybody off. But the testimonies need to be with the Spirit of the Lord too. That'll touch people's lives and touch their heart. What's the vision of it? Lord, help me to be in that vision of what I'm supposed to be, filling my place in it, what I'm supposed to be doing. Over in familiar scripture in the 15th chapter of John. Before I go to that, it's a familiar scripture. You remember the children of Israel when they was in the wilderness and they got out there in the wilderness and they started complaining because the Lord was, it's an amazing story about how the Lord fed them with manna. And there's a lot of illustrations with manna. But they also eat manna for 40 years. morning. Now, I know how we are. Not everywhere in the world's like we are, folks. We have quite a variety of food. And we get up in the morning and we make up our minds whether we're going to eat waffles, pancakes, eggs, bacon, toast, donuts, oats, cereals, different kind, Cap'n Crunch, Wheaties. We make up our mind. We're going to have grapefruit, fruit, this, all this kind of stuff. And then we go on from there, and none of what I mentioned really fits for lunch. And you can go through the lunch and then the suppers, and you can go through. And sometimes my wife, she's a list girl, and so she likes to make lists. And sometimes she'll fill out a list of what she's going to make for this. And we eat the whole week and never touch the same thing twice. We, you know, different meals and those kind of things. How would you like manna for breakfast? Okay. Well, how about for lunch? Well, I can do it for lunch too. And for supper. Hey, you, anybody want a midnight snack? Guess what you get? A little manna. Anytime you want a little extra, hey, nibble on manna. You, the children need something to chew on, give them a piece of manna. That's okay for a day. A week is different. A month's harder. And then the year, we've been a whole year out here with it. Well, try 40. You got 40 years to absorb this, okay? You got this. The children of Israel started complaining, and they had their taste buds tantalized from what they used to know. They knew what garlic tasted like. They knew what the leeks was like. They knew about the melons. They knew the spices of Egypt. They had experienced that, and now they're out there eating something. But I'm going to tell you the problem with this. That wasn't what God had for them. They was comparing the experience with the wilderness. With Egypt. Egypt will win every time in your wilderness experience. That's the best illustration that I ever saw about somebody that's in a wilderness, not growing anywhere, not going in the Lord, not growing in the Lord, wandering around in the wilderness, running around in the wilderness, always thinking about what the world used to offer them. I know I can't have it and serve the Lord, but here I am, humdrumming, know this all religious stuff. Well, I got a church on Sunday. The preacher's going to preach about it like he did last Sunday. I eat this for breakfast, and I eat it for lunch, and I eat it for supper. And if I got any snacks, what I eat? A little less holiness. And it's boring, and I'm not getting anywhere, and that's the wilderness experience. That was never supposed to be compared, the wilderness with Egypt. You're supposed to compare Canaan. Canaan was flowing with milk and honey, and it had pomegranates and grapes and all this fruit, and it was this, and that's what you compare with Egypt. This is the life that you, if you never go to Canaan land, it's a miserable experience in God. Because it's always just trying to get by on religion. Just trying to do this, and it never gets anywhere. No, let's go on. And get something more. You know what I'll say, if I can use this word, some people don't like it, excited about? I'm excited about meeting these new people and introducing them to the saints, to the Lord. They know about the Lord, but they're fascinated. And it's exciting to me to be able to go a little bit, and it'll excite you too. If you love the Lord, it'll excite you too. You know, when you get in there and you've not prayed for this, you've not been involved in it, and somebody stands up and there's a number of people around that have been praying earnestly and working and trying to get, and they come to you saying, God, give the victory! And they just stand up and say, I got the victory! And everybody that labored and prayed is, hallelujah, praise God! They got the victory! And the ones that was just kind of, what's going on? What's they making such a fuss about? It doesn't mean anything. We're to compare this old world. Oh, it's got pleasures of sin for a season. Got some spice. Got some things off. Or you want to be exciting. You want to do this. You want to do that. It all leads to destruction. But it's there. All that's there. And young people look at it all the time and say, one of the worst things in this world is boredom. Boredom will lead you to that kind of, to get something. We all want something. But when you compare Christ in your life, when you felt the Lord answer your prayers, when you've been in the middle of the battle and the Lord gives you victory, there's nothing like it. Over in John 15. First verse says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Could it be that the disruptions and the things of our life is a plan of God to bring forth more fruit? Maybe the Lord is trying to disrupt us. So there's COVID-19. Well, if there's anybody here that's very old at all that haven't heard of COVID-19, I'd be shocked. Because it's been kind of the prevalent idea. COVID-19. No matter where you stand on it. What are you afraid of? What it is and all this. Maybe God was trying to say something to us. Maybe God was trying to say you're not as secure as you think you are. Maybe God was trying to say you need to lean on me. Has anybody ever thought that there might be a COVID-20? I don't know. I'm not trying to scare anybody or anything like that. But this happened. I don't know if they'd name it COVID-20, but COVID-20 somewhere. Maybe it's not going to be a COVID. Maybe it'd be something else. I'm going to just tell you where I was at in it. I spent, since 1995, full-time in the Lord. Traveling to the camp meetings, holding revivals, going into sicknesses everywhere I went. Somebody call up and say, well, we're headed to Guthrie. Oh, the flu's rampant out here. Well, I'm kind of called for this. Me and my wife say, what are we going to do? Like we did the other times. Committed to God. Years and years. Committed to God. What are we going to do? Committed to God. What are we going to do? Ready? Committed to God. What are we going to do? Committed to God. And they come along with COVID. And I said, committed to God. This is an easy one for me. I've been committed for years and years and years. Committed to God. God's bigger than this anyway. Lord, help us. I said that not to lift me up about committing it. I wanted to tell you that practice it. Live it. Get there with it. God, it wasn't that we haven't been sick. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. The Lord never failed us in those years to take care of us. Thank the Lord. He purges it. Maybe he brings things into their life. Maybe he wants to unclog. Maybe he wants to unclog the river. Maybe he wants to see it flow better than it's ever flown before. I want to say this. One person at a time. The church of God is a collection of saved people. People that God brought out of all kind of different circumstances and places and has done a work in their life, and by the revelation of God, he built the church that I know he lives. He lives in me. And as we go on, some will sow and some will water, and God will give the increase. One will sing. Another will pray. Another will preach. Another will say amen. Another will lift a hand. And another will run the vacuum cleaner down the rows. There's gifting. There's things to do. There'll be people that will come to pray. There'll be people that have the gift to understand them, the gift to talk to them, a gift to go. Maybe it's you. I don't know. It's not my job to call, but it is my job to encourage you. That to say to the one that we love, our Savior, Lord, I want to know you well enough to know how to please you. I if this is what you want me to do, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. If you want a drink of water at the hazard of my life, give me my sword. I'm going to go get you a drink of water. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do in my life. And the Lord will bless us more and more and more. I have a vision that I keep in my mind always about what it's supposed to be. I'm not condemning. I'm reaching. I'm reaching for it. This is what it's supposed to be. Not only as our collective, but this is what it's supposed to be. Lord, help me to know what this is, to get to what I know that it's supposed to be. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.